Okay, we begin a new series today on Lamentations called Grief, Tears, Hope, Healing and Praise. And today's title is called Tears and Talk. And I want to speak especially this morning to all who walk the path of sorrow and loss. And sooner or later, that will be all of us at some point or other. And the author J.I. Packer says, grief is the process of adapting to the loss of something or someone that we loved. Adapting to the loss of something or someone that we love. And when a person loses a loved one, we speak of them as being bereaved. And the word reaved actually means to rob, to plunder, or tear away. So therefore, the one who is bereaved feels that he or she has been robbed or plundered, like having something or someone who's dearly loved just ripped away from them. And all of us will walk through the valley of grief and loss in different times and in different ways. It may not just be a physical bereavement of a loved one. It could be the end of an era for some of us. It could be the end of a relationship. It could be a loss of a job that you've had for years and your identity has been wrapped up in that and you've been bereft of that. It's a loss and you're struggling with that. It could be seeing your children grow up and go their own way or rebel against you. And that is a loss. It's a bereavement seeing that happen. And so on and so on. And God has given us the book of Lamentations to show us and to enable us to be able to navigate the valley of sorrow and loss. And the book of Lamentations is, if you like, a house of sorrow, a house for sorrow, and a school for compassion. And as we study this book over the next few weeks, my hope is that you will better understand what it means to grieve and what it means to hope at the same time, and that it will help you to be better equipped to live and serve in a suffering world, and that it will encourage you to meet Christ on the path of sorrow. Lamentations describes, by way of background, in excruciating detail, the grief and sorrow that resulted from the siege and the eventual collapse of Jerusalem in 586 BC. It's called Lamentations because it's the lament of people who survived unspeakable loss. And then they had to pick up the pieces of their shattered and broken lives and somehow find the strength to carry on amidst the ruins of their fallen city, Jerusalem. And more than any other book of the Bible, Lamentation speaks to those who grieve today. And I want us over the next few weeks to look at what Lamentations teaches us about grief and loss. And the first thing that I want us to look at this morning is our tears in the time of loss and grief. Our tears. And the first thing we want to say is, let the tears flow. Let the tears flow. Tears are a wonderful gift from God. He gave us tear ducts for a reason. They're not there by accident. Tears are there as a release valve for pain. So let the tears flow. We often say, especially about boys, big boys don't cry and whatever, and less so nowadays, thankfully. But it's fine to cry, whether you're a man, a big boy, a big man, or a woman. Let the tears flow. Don't hold them back. Lamentations is a book soaked in tears. Verse 2, we read, she weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheeks. Verse 16, for these things I weep, my eyes flow with tears, for a comforter is far from me. And there are many others over and over again that repeat this encouragement to allow the tears to flow throughout Lamentations. And when someone is grieving, tears can often come unexpectedly. It could be a song that brings you to tears, a reminder. It could be a comment someone makes, a picture or a memory that's just suddenly hit your come to mind. And the tears just come, flow unexpectedly. You never know when the next going to come. But other times, the tears just don't seem to come. The shock of great loss can sometimes freeze the senses for a time. so that what you expect to feel, or even what you think you should feel, you don't feel at all, and you may even feel guilty that you don't. Lamentations 2 verse 18 speaks to this as well. It says, when the tears come, let them flow, don't hold them back. Let tears stream down like a torrent day and night. Give yourself no rest, your eyes no respite. It's important to say here that grief is not a sign of spiritual weakness or lack of trust in God. We do not have to hold back our grief or make out that it's not as real as we feel it. Lamentations here says, let it go, let it come. It's not something that has to be stifled because we feel it's dishonoring to God. And Lamentations speaks to such a view. In verse 19 of chapter 2, it says, pour out your heart, again, like water before the presence of the Lord. It's fine to do that. Don't hold back the grief. Tears, let them flow. And then secondly, talk, let the talk flow as well. A grieving person will often want to talk about their loss and express it over and over again. And grief is like that. It goes back over the same ground again and again and again. And we see this illustrated in Lamentations repeatedly, where the outpouring of loss is expressed repeatedly over and over and over. And it's there for a reason, because I believe that God has something very important to say to us through that, about how to grieve. And I think that is, not only are we to let the tears flow, but that we're to encourage to let the talk flow as well. Cry and talk, let them both flow. Don't hold either back. And if you're alongside somebody who's grieving, it's okay to stimulate conversations about a person's loss. Often folk are afraid to share stories or memories, especially humorous ones about the person's loved one, in case they upset them or offend them. Whereas the reality is that by sharing those stories or those memories, yes, it may bring a tear or two, but it may also bring laughter and a sense of gratitude that their loved one is still remembered. So part of our responsibility and part of the way that we help those who have lost a loved one is to help keep the memory of them alive. And this reminds us this morning of the importance of the ministry of listening in the body of Christ. Romans 12 verse 15 says, we're called to rejoice with those who rejoice as a church family, and we're called to weep with those who weep. And Lamentations gives us a beautiful picture of what it looks like for God's people to grieve together. There are two sides to weeping with those who weep. The first is that there must be brothers and sisters in Christ, i.e. us, who are ready to listen, ready to sit with the one who grieves and identify with their sorrow. Not necessarily give answers, but just to sit and be with them as they grieve in their sorrow. A person can only speak about their pain if there's someone there to listen to them. But if this is to happen, by the same token, the other side of the coin is the one who grieves must be ready to allow some brothers and sisters into their own sorrow. Maybe not all, but some into their own sorrow. And this is a difficult challenge for those who are grieving a loss, because it's very easy to put on a brave front sometimes and to say that you don't want any sadness, and you tell others that you only want to focus on the celebration of a loved one's life, and that's a good thing. But then you determine that you will only do your weeping on your own, that you will do it in isolation. And that's not good. That's not what we find in Lamentations. God calls your brothers and your sisters to weep with you. Allow them to do that. The body of Christ is part of God's provision for you. They are given the privilege and the calling to listen, to allow others into your grief So allow others into your grief, into your sorrow, into your loss, whatever that may be. As a body, we rejoice with those who rejoice. We celebrate our highs, and we weep with those who weep. We cry along with you. We may not give you the answers, but we will be there to cry with you. So tears, let them flow. Talk, let it flow. And then finally, as we draw to a close, as always, Jesus is our role model in all things, none more so than in sorrow and in grief. The Bible tells us that Jesus wept often, and in particular when Lazarus, who Jesus loved, died. When Lazarus died, Jesus comes to Bethany, and when he arrives, Lazarus's sisters, Martha and Mary, come out to meet him. And these two women were grieving the death of their dearly loved brother. And in John 11, the story goes, when Jesus saw Mary weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And then we're told, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Not just shed a tear, but wept, bawled his eyes out. Why did he weep? Why did he weep? He knew that in about 5 minutes' time, he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew that. That's what he'd come to do. Why did he weep? He actually said to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." Why did he cry? It's interesting. He didn't say to Martha when he said to her, "Your brother will rise again." He didn't follow that on and say, "So therefore, do not grieve." He didn't tell her not to grieve. He allowed her to carry on grieving. And he joined her in her grief and wept. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And yet he weeps with Martha and Mary over their loss. Jesus wept. He bawled his eyes out. He sobbed his heart out. He was inconsolable. What does this tell us? What does this tell us, this picture? Beautiful picture of Jesus sobbing his heart out, weeping with Mary, Martha, and the other family and friends at the graveside of their loved one. It tells us that God is always intimately involved in the grief of his people, whatever that might be. In Psalm 56, verse 8, look at verse up, Psalm 56, verse 8, and just write it out and put it somewhere as a reminder. In this verse, God speaks of gathering, beautiful verse, one of my favorites, of God gathering all the tears of his people in a bottle. He says, "You have kept count of my misery. You have put my tears in your bottle. Are they not all recorded? Every single tear you shed is bottled and recorded by your Savior." Isn't that incredible? Every tear you have ever shed is completely known by your Heavenly Father, to your Heavenly Father. Not one of them is forgotten or overlooked by him. The tears of God's children are precious to him. And Luke 4:18, Jesus declares, "The Spirit of the sovereign God is upon me." Why? Because the Lord has anointed me to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort all who mourn. And these words are given so that you may know that Christ stands with you in your grief and your sorrow today. Jesus was a man of sorrow. That's how the Bible describes him. A man who was acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, in Matthew 26, he says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow." Overwhelmed. And when your soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, Remember that your Saviour has been there. You worship and follow a God who's been there, the man of sorrows. You have a Saviour who knows what it is to weep. But you also have a Saviour with whom you can talk as well. Let the talk flow. You cannot talk to your loved one who has died. But if your loved one was a follower of Jesus, if they were in Christ, he or she is now with their Saviour. And you can talk to the Saviour about your loved one who is now in his house. You can tell your Saviour how much you miss them and how much you love them. You can bring the pain of your loss to this man of sorrows who is familiar with sorrow and grief. And he will understand and he will comfort and he will console. And then when you enter on that final day, when we leave the tent of the body that we have now, and we enter into his presence in heaven on that final day, Revelation tells us that this man of sorrows will come to us, embrace us, and will wipe away all the tears from your eyes. And in Revelation 21, this is really, really important. It says that the literal meaning is that he will wipe all the tears out of your eyes. Not just wipe them and then they'll flow. He will remove them out of your eyes. He will not only take away the tears, but the very tear ducts that produce them themselves. The man of sorrows will remove the tear ducts from your heavenly body, those that produce the tears. Why? Because they will no longer be needed in heaven. They will no longer be needed. It's not only the tears that God takes away, but also the sorrow and loss that gave rise to them. And there's this song by Eric Clapton, beautiful song that he wrote after his young toddler fell out of a window and tragically died, called Tears in Heaven. And it's a lovely song and it's a very moving song, but it's theologically very incorrect, because there are no tears in heaven. In heaven there'll be no tears. And your heavenly body will have no tear ducts, and the very source of tears will be removed. There will be no tears in heaven. Friends, that day has not yet come. And until it does, there will be tears here on earth for one reason or another. But when they come, remember that there is also the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, who says in this book of Lamentations, verse 12, "See if there is any sorrow like my sorrow." Jesus Christ plumbed the depths of sorrow as he suffered on the cross for you and for me. And no one is more ready or more able to walk with you through the valley of grief, through the valley of sorrow, and through the valley of loss than Jesus Christ himself, a man of sorrows, well acquainted with grief himself. Father, we want to thank you